Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. Praise the Lord God Almighty, mighty in battle, ever faithful and true, loving, protector, shield, and fortress, our buckler, our hope in glory, our help in time of trouble. Glory to God in the highest. We praise his holy name. This is Blog Talk Radio, Words from the Word. I am your host, Overseer Paulette, and this is Friday, August 12, 2016. And we are glad to be in the land of the living and in the fellowship of the saints. We welcome you to the ministry of Words for the Word. There is a wonder that the Word provides with us and within us, a time of quiet reflection and connection with the principles of the kingdom of God. Because so often when we travel our journey, it's filled with, as we saw in the different types of soil, the anxieties and the worries and the cares of this world. And we forget about the principles of the kingdom of God. We forget about exercising them. We forget about making them strong in our life. So Words from the Word is just a reminder. We are looking in this season at the first church, which was very strong and powerful. It was so powerful, it was enough for just a few committed souls to change the whole world. And we are tapping into that strength for the purpose and promise to continue the growth of the kingdom. Because that's the purpose and the promise and the commission that was given to us. Go ye therefore. We are going ye therefore. But in going, we want to look at the elements that we need. These are new elements and principles from the kingdom of the living God that fuel our revolution. And we will reclaim the mountains of influence in the world today for the living God of heaven. I'm so glad that you joined us. I am so glad that as we journey, and we journey together, we look at and uncover precious gems and treasures that was revealed in the relationship of the first church. Their relationship to one another, their relationship to the world, and their relationship to God. These three areas we will find tools. We'll find keys, and not really tools, but the keys. And they're, we say principles, but the Bible calls them the statutes and the commandments and the truth. They are truths. They are truths that fuel the kingdom of God. And these are the truths that we should be mirroring and declaring and decreeing in our living to the world. Because it is these truths that will set them free. It's these truths that have set us free. And so we rejoice in that. And as we look at the first church, we're looking at became their attitude. It was their frame of mind was being changed. Their mind, obviously, their minds were being changed, and they were learning a new way of thinking and of relating to one another. And part of that came when Christ walked among them, walked among the world, walked among the disciples, And as we see, and they tell us in the Bible, all the things in red was what he said. And he taught us how to open ourselves up to him. And he taught us how to worship him, what worship style was necessary. He taught us how to be transparent with one another. And then he taught us how to have the mindset of one another and to relinquish our flesh and our flesh thoughts. And then he taught us how to share then this new life with other people, how to hear the word and how to pray and communicate with him. These were things that he taught as he walked among men to share a new way. Everything seemed to be in contradiction. The world saw it one way. If someone hits you, you hit them back. Eye for eye and tooth for tooth, which was what was given us in the Old Testament. And he said he came to fulfill the law and to perfect it. And so he says if they hit you, then you turn your cheek. You know, so very different concepts that were being presented to the world then, that the world had to kind of raise the eyebrow like, are you kidding? You know, if somebody want my coat, which would be like your jacket, and then give them your cloak as well. So give them your jacket and your coat. Okay? And so these were principles that we weren't practicing. We didn't see the world that way. We didn't work that way. We did not function that way. And it was clear to the people that this new way had a mystery to it that intrigued them because they followed him by the groves. So here you have someone saying, blessed, you know, are they that mourn? Who would say, happy is the man that mourns? You know, who would say, blessed are ye that are persecuted? Those were not the kinds of things that we embrace in our as our daily socially acceptable behavior. But everything was almost the opposite because there was a different focus. Everything before was always focused on the here and now, the temporal, getting what you can get while you can get it. Everything was focused on the temporary, on the flesh, satisfying the flesh, and even satisfying the flesh by being kind to people, but a kindness that had a limit, and because life had a limit, because their time on earth was limited, and as they saw it in their mind. And yet, as Christ came, and as he rose from the grave with power, he changed our outlook. It was no longer temporal. It was no longer temporary. It became eternal. And that became the most powerful weapon to encourage a change of mind and a change of thinking. I am not limited by my time. This that I experienced here is not as good as it gets. This isn't it. This is only a foreshadowing of that which is to come. There is so much more. And so that sparked curiosity of the individuals during that time to follow him by the thousands, the hundreds and the thousands. What is he saying? What is he really communicating to us? Because the way that they were living obviously was not satisfying and fulfilling, or they would not have sought a different way. They would not have sought or been intrigued by someone saying something new. But the newness of what Christ brought to the earth was like a breath of fresh air, like a wind from the east, purifying things that had been so long stagnant and just breathing in garbage and breathing out garbage, the same thing over and over. Poverty looked like poverty. Sickness looked like sickness. And now we have someone where sickness looks like healing and poverty looks like opportunity for wealth and for riches that are eternal, that do not rust and moth can't, and no one can steal. And so these were the things that triggered and fueled the move of the gospel through the earth. And so we want to be tapping into this resource. We want to see how God's love brings peace to people, and how Jesus brings freedom, and how Holy Spirit brings us power. And we can say it, but we have to see the elements of discipline that need to be in our life so that we can not just say it, but we can see it. And then others can see it as well. What a powerful thing it is to see a humble person or a person that is an honest person. It's a fresh, it's a wind of fresh air. It's reviving, it's invigorating, it's renewing. It brings hope. And those are the things that our lives should demonstrate. And we say, how then does this happen? What do we need to do? Well, we looked in the first month or so of the summer at the soil. And as we look at the soil, we saw how the work to be done was initiated by the gardener. And the gardener represented the Lord God Almighty. He was the one who would initiate all things that were needed for these elements to spring up out of our spirit and the world take note of them. It's a blessing to know that there was a commitment, Christ's resurrection from the grave, his all-powerful existence on behalf of us now as an intercessor and a mediator is there so that we can be like him, so that we can express him in the world and the world can be changed as it was in that first century. We are to be humbled by this, but more than that, we are to be mindful of it every moment of our lives. That's what happened in the first century. The people's lives were changed, not just now we go to church on Sunday. No, their Monday through Sunday was centered around Christ, no longer centered around them. He had a wonderful diagram of a circle and a chair in the middle of the circle. And sit on the chair was represented by the letter S. And outside the circle, I believe, I want to say what the was a cross. And within the circle, there were the things that interest and concern us. And you helped me out with this, Elder. It represented a self-directed life. And this is how the natural man was. They were self-directed. They did not have access to change. But the gardener brought that into our lives and changed it from us being on the throne of our own life to him being on the throne as he prepared the soil of our hearts so that it would receive the seed of truth and the word who was our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find ourselves at a place of decision to be subject to the gardener. We must let God's love bring us peace. let his love that brought Jesus Christ reconcile us unto him and to others, and let our spirit rest in him. That's something we have to let happen, because it doesn't happen automatically. And we say, well, how do you let it happen? Well, we let it happen by exercising the different spiritual disciplines. And this exercising these spiritual disciplines is the thing that will help nourish the seed in good soil and produce fruit. Amen. Amen. So if you're on your live, you're on the line, any input and insight, update, if anything was left out in our review of things that particularly struck you as we were going through those teachings, you're live, you can take the phones off mute, and good morning, good morning, you can share with us. Good morning. Okay. So,
good morning, Overseer.
Yes.
No, I was just going to say that I thought that was extremely thorough. I'm having some technical issues here. It seems like our internet is out or something this morning.
Oh.
But God is still faithful. And when you were talking about the whole idea of the revolution that was started by, you know, the disciples, the first church, it's just amazing. You know, I think we feel like we need so much to get things started, so much to make a difference in someone's life. So, you know, that we physical resources, people, you know, just all of those types of things. But when you look at what they started out with, it is the true love of Christ in their hearts, the word being alive, and them being excited about it and yielding themselves to it and being able to see the signs and wonders and the miraculous works of what their faith would garner them, not doing it, not seeking his hand, but by seeking him, then everything that he has, you know, becomes ours. And we see how evident that was in the first church, with everything being in common, you know, and we see that throughout the scriptures, that, you know, when we work as a unified body, what great things Christ can work through us. You know, when we yield ourselves, you know, what can be brought through us. And when we've been looking at the whole idea of the barriers and the limitations that we find, which are our own limitations, when you were talking about the self-control, that when I look at that in reference to the soil that we've been talking about, sometimes our reluctance on being able to, a willingness to dig up those things, to weed, to allow ourselves to be pruned and our gardens to be weeded, you know, and our stalks to be pruned. But it is only after doing that we really do see the 10 and 30 and 60-fold fruit that the scripture promises us, you know, when we allow ourselves to be yielded and to really walk in a love that is transformative.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's one of those words that we don't use as earnestly as we should, to be transparent, you know, to be transformed. And it really is us letting the gardener do the work. And we've so long thought that there was things we had to do. You know, I need to do this, and I need to stop doing that, and, you know, I need to read more, and I need to pray more. And I know we're told that. But the scripture says it is him that puts the will in us to do those things. And so it's to having the more of him, well, those things will automatically come. And so it's like we're trying to get an end result without going in the journey, and the journey is relationship. You don't pray more because you're supposed to pray more. You pray more because you love more. You pray more because you love, period, and you enjoy. You know, it becomes a part of tasks to do, but a privilege to embrace. And, you know, and reading more. I think that when we think about our lives in so many ways, when you hear a scripture and in a setting other than a church setting, I'll put it that way, there is something ever so small that kind of leaps inside of you. And it's that relationship with the word, the Jesus that our souls are responding to. And yet, you know, when it's in church, you know, you're supposed to, you hear. But when you're in an environment that is not necessarily something that you would normally hear, it really makes a difference. And I think it's that kind of thing that would cause us to leap and rejoice with one another in songs and psalms and in prayer and praise when we see one another, because it's that relationship that is in our bellies and in our very souls will leap in contact with that which is in the souls of others, not ashamed of being rejected or, oh, that's not appropriate, or, again, thinking of temporal things and not eternal things. And just as Mary Elizabeth, I believe that's who, when they met, the baby leaped in the belly. It's a connection, and I think that's part of the joy. Just even it brings a smile on your face, even when you come in contact with saints that are like-minded and have that attitude and that lifestyle commitment. You know, you automatically rest knowing that the interaction is going to be a very positive one. It's going to be positive for the things that you honor and that you value. And so I love the way we are able to learn together. It's almost so that, not so much that we can glean together, but that we can journey together. Because he says, you know, we need each other. We're a part of one another. And that makes the journey even the more exciting and contagious, not just for those that we know, but for those that we don't know, because they will see and wonder, wow, what is that? What is that? I want some of that. And that some of that is what we have to allow the Lord to plant in us, and so that we can be free to express Christ the way he should be expressed in the world. Any more questions, comments? Not just questions, but just insight and input as we are studying out of Philip Keller's The Gardener Looks at the Fruit of the Spirit, as well as Adele Calhoun's Spiritual Discipline Handbook.
Amen. Greetings. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. My name is Pastor Don Jr., CEO. I'm calling from sunny Las Vegas, and I'm with the Entertainment Worldwide Network. And we've been in attendance, listening online, and some of our other winning team members are calling in. And we have a lot of devotions in the morning, and I kind of want to piggyback off of what you said. And first off, let me just give y'all honor for being heavy laborers. A lot of people, they want to get to heaven, but in the natural, they don't realize we have to treat each other right. One thing that God has shown me time and time again, these storms are going to knock down power. They're going to knock down trees. It's going to be kind of storms, but they're only storms. And sometimes we so focus in on that negative energy, it creates a a contradictory situation. No matter how much we believe and praise God and we have faith, when we get on the phone with our sisters and brothers and loved ones and we focus on the things that God hasn't shown us, we're not remembering that the same God that blessed us, that pulled us out of our muck, for me, it was alcohol. I spent 18 years drinking every day, all day, doing million-dollar deals, straight up drinking. And I was so articulate because of the gift of gab that I have. God was there, you know, the whole time. And I found myself, and I'm dead drunk in bars and strip clubs praying for people. And some of the strippers I played for, they wound up being some of the biggest evangelists. So I'm not anybody. I'm only a witness for God as an instrument. So I say all that to say, if I didn't go through those bad situations, I wouldn't be able to minister to the people I minister to today. And some of the people that I minister to, it's not a badge of honor. It's a sense of we can see eye to eye because I understand what you went through. And as far as academic spirit, we can't talk so much about what we're putting into our belly is what comes out. So to piggyback off what you said, sister, which was so powerful, with it being a body, sometimes you might make a fart and it might not smell good, but if you don't release that waste and that gas from your body, it's going to hurt everything. To accent on another point that you said, we have a lot of wolves in sheep clothing that's around us, people that's really not for us. And once we let them into our space and we live off that negative energy, it becomes a cancer. And once you go so far, even with the grace of God, you still have to realize that you are a human being. You are a free will person. And sometimes being a free will person, the only perfect person that walked this earth was Jesus. We are trying to be Christ-like. So with us trying to be Christ-like, we can't be beating ourselves up so disappointed, because when Jesus died for all sins, that was yesterday, today, tomorrow, and forever. And because I believe that, through us not being guilty and the devil not tricking us and who we used to be, you can't put old wine in new skin. So I'm just on fire over here. I've been just like taking notes. I love what y'all sisters are doing. I got my viral department planted out there. More people need to know about people actually living the word of God, speaking the word of God, and being transparent and putting themselves out there. My name is Pastor Don Jr., CEO. I'm with the Entertainment Worldwide Network. We love y'all and we love God.
Amen. Thank you so much for that encouraging word and for that encouraging connection. We're taking over the airways for the Lord God Almighty. It is our desire that it is He that is lifted up and that the people will see the true elements of the love and the fruit that come from the God of all creation. We are so grateful that we have those that will share with us and that are on this journey with us. It encourages us and it fuels us. And so we do want to bless your ministry and bless you in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for this sharing. We pray that you will continue to do so. We are on the air every Friday at 9:00, Words from the Word. And we're broadcasting out of Chicago, Illinois. So I do thank God for his outreach, for him allowing the ministry birthed out of the Apostle Shawnette Houghton to reach the masses, to connect to fellow laborers in faith, and for us to know that as the word is given to us and we share words from the word, it is so that the body is edified and inspired, that it's encouraged, and that it is strengthened. And so we thank God for the fruit of the spirit of love, the most powerful fruit in the list. And as the list continues in different places in Scripture, I don't know if someone has our Scripture out there that we can go to, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, so that we can set that up. And one of the main things that the fruit of love does is it is selfishlessness. It eliminates that self off the throne of our hearts. And before that point, there was no way for self to get off of the throne of the heart. But love is not selfish. It is self-giving, self-sharing, self-sacrificing, self-losing, self-abandonment. It is self-serving others. This kind of love is found, is supreme, and it expresses the true life and death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the visible expression to our humanity of the invisible God. He was the love of God demonstrated indefinitely in the perfect doing and perfect dying of a deity. It was simply no greater way in which God could communicate to us the importance of love. And I think one of the first scriptures we even teach our young people is the fact that God so loved the world that he gave. So the first thing they learn is that love gives. Love gives. And love gives its ultimate. It doesn't give what's convenient or what's left over or what's easy or what'll be given back. It gives its ultimate. And it gives its ultimate to those, and to it gives its ultimate to those who have no ultimate and are in need of one, and that would be us. And not deserving it, but just needing it. And because love lies at the root of our fruit, everything that comes forth out of our fruit is coming out of that element and environment of love, not a world's love, a love that needs to stop right now with our understanding of what love is. And there's really no way to summarize it other than to say you have to read the words, all of the words, in order to get a clear, full picture of what God's love is. And it's terrible. Yeah. It's horrible. It's helpful. It's terrible. It's all sorts of things that I don't know how many times we would hear somebody say, you know, if you love me, you wouldn't do that. The things that God has done out of love for us is beyond our imagination and understanding. And so often in reading scripture, in being, which is why we're to study, to show ourselves approved. So there's some things that we won't have to be ashamed of having said because we didn't know the whole scroll. He said, eat the whole scroll. Don't just pick the ones that are, you know, God is love. Yes, he is. But what does, how does God define love? Not how I define love, or the world define love, or how does Webster define love. That is not important because they are not love. God is love, and he is the ultimate definition of what love is. And he started with sacrificing. He started with long-suffering. He started with having patience with us, being gentle. How difficult it is, I call him a gentle giant, but how difficult it is for someone that's very, 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 very strong and big to handle little frail, delicate things. And that's what we are. And yet he does so gently and so kindly. He handles us in the love that he has for us. Not so much that he has a physical being that has a hand that's really big, but just he has the elements of omnipotence and omnipresence and all-powerfulness. He has the word that forms worlds and universes, and yet he delicately dictates and declares towards us the things that are gentle and kind and peaceful and all because he loves us. And that love is a love that we need to start to understand what it looks like. One of the things that is put forth in Philip Keller's book is He talks about an essay written by Henry Drummond, The Greatest Thing in the World. And I encourage you to go online and read that essay. Actually, what the author says here is anyone who will earnestly, prayerfully read that essay once a week, every week for 3 months, is bound to have the entire fabric of his or her character colored and changed by God's gracious spirit. When I started reading that essay, I fully agreed. I wanted, if there was some way we could do it online on Fridays, it's probably a 20 minute or so reading. But I do encourage others to read it, and we can talk about it next week. But it's Henry Drummond's The Greatest Thing in the World. The Greatest Thing in the World. We got atom bombs. We got mega computers. We got chips and nano this and nano that. But the greatest thing in the world that was then, now, and ever will be is love. And we need to get a handle on what that love looks like. That's one of those disciplines that was shared in spiritual handbook of that one another. That one another, those, all of those items and the one another, they come out of a heart that the seed of which is love, a Christ love, a love that dispels fear, a love that solves problems and issues, a love that rests and trusts, a love that seeks and obeys, a love that embraces, you know, a love that is desired. We have to desire his love. And if we don't know what it is, it's hard to desire it. We think the things that we desire are things of love, but they're things of love that the world has defined. And those things do not sustain us. They're not eternal, and they're not powerful. They are so subject to man's changing attitude situations and commitments and challenges. But when Christ rose from the grave, he cut covenant with us. Christ cut covenant with us. And he is the keeper of that covenant of love. He did the ultimate, and he did it for us. And he didn't do it for us when we were asking him to do it for us. We were asking him, actually, don't do it. You know, they were saying, well, Master, you don't have to die. You don't, you know, because they, again, didn't understand the love. And we have to get to a place. I'm excited about the study of the fruit of the Spirit, and I don't want to rush through it. And so I do definitely understand the power of, not that I don't fully understand it, but I do understand that part of that power comes through a new insight into love, the love that God has. So I do encourage you to check out this essay by this gentleman, written in the 1800s, but it's very apropos now. Apropos now. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Mr. Paulette?
Yes.
Mr. Paulette, is that Mullens?
Say that one more time.
Henry, is that Henry Mullens?
No, it's Henry Drummond apostrophe S. Drummond.
Oh, Drummond. Okay.
Yes, D-R-U. Mullens. O-N-D. Yes.
The
so
greatest
do we have our scripture?
In the world. Yes.
Yes, the greatest in the world. Yes.
Okay. I have the scripture.
Okay.
Somebody was trying to say something before I said something. Somebody else. Okay, Galatians 5:22. through 23.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. That's Galatians 22 through 24.
Amen. Amen. Elder?
Yes, yes.
I'm going to take a part of your carnal Christian. Why don't you do the carnal Christian, what the interests are in that circle? Because these are the things that the fruit of the Spirit have to displace.
Do you mean are you talking about the works of the flesh? I'm not sure I'm following you correctly.
Yeah, I was looking at your diagram.
Okay.
The self-centered
Christian. Okay.
Yes.
There were, and I'm trying to pull that up as we speak, but, and we're talking self-centered Christians, so we're talking about believers who know who Christ is. You have a relationship with him, but you have not yielded over your members to being obedient, lining up with with the word. Forgive me one second. I did not have that out, and I apologize. I did not have that in front of me. But while I am looking for that, I did want to at least say that in looking at the information from Keller, one of the things that really jumped out at me when it talks about that the very life of God is epitomized in the love of God and that only originates with him. I think we are duped into this. We can do better. We can be better. We can help ourselves out, with self-help books and those kinds of things. But it is only through God's grace and mercy and his Spirit in us that allows us to really produce the fruit of the Spirit. And the fact that it says fruit, you know, singular, and not like nine different fruits of the Spirit, that it is all love. And Keller speaks to it and says that the fruit of the Spirit that's talked about in Galatians 5 is the nine-faceted sides of love, you know, which I thought was really, really powerful with that. And I apologize, I think those copies of the illustration that I gave you, I don't have. Uh-huh. I gave you the copies, so I just need to go get the books. But I can, you know, certainly look at that. But I did want to not only speak to that, but just when you just said about how when brethren or sisters or whatever get together and talk, that the word is alive and it does resonate. When we hear, when we share scripture, I'm not talking about when we talk about what goes around comes around, and even though there is a resonance even with the truth that are in some of the colloquial terms that we use, but when we speak the word and it resonates in our spirits from somebody else who knows the word, it is as I imagine how Mary and Elizabeth had that connection. When the babies in their bellies, you know, leap for joy, there is something about handling the word of God with somebody else who knows and loves and believes the word of God that it stirs up that gift within you. It stirs up the very life of God that's in us, and it is alive. And I think it really just solidifies much like our prayer language does. For those who have entered into that realm of a prayer language, where you know that it is something authentic and something genuine that cannot be counterfeited by something else. It transcends culture. It transcends ethnicity. You know, it is truly us being one in the unity of Christ. You know, it being the many members. being the many members, you know, in that.
Amen. And, you know, and I challenge all of us that if our conversation with the people in our circle of influence doesn't birth that type of emotion out of our bellies, that we then initiate that sort of relationship with people so that it's not a temporal thing, but it really is something that will bring healing when healing is necessary. It is something that will bring comfort when there is mourning. It is something that will bring peace when there's chaos, so that our relationships are not just only powerful, but they're meaningful. They're not just shallow. That's that shallow ground that the Lord has to has to clear out of that rock, and so that we are not longer, as someone said, business as usual. No, but every day, you know, if the purpose that every day I will be different than I was the day before because of my fellowship with first God and then God's people and then man. And that if just one thing, we're in our consecration now, and there are like seven facets of the consecration in one day. So if just one of those things on that consecration we adhere to and then embrace it as a lifestyle change, whether it's our prayer practice, whether it's our consecration commitment for the day, and that's confessing a scripture, whether it's our seven mountain prophecy prayer or declaration, our scripture confession, whether it's our put on or put off, if it's our media purge, all of those becoming a real part of our lifestyle so that, you know, when we do come in contact with one another, we're powerful. Just like we were
Amen.
In the first, it's not just come into job race, that we no longer do student testing, that we no longer do ISO communication, that every word we say will be powerful and cause freedom to transform its influence on the mountains of the world, on those seven mountains. And so we want to be just not giving lip service to scripture, but we want to give light application to truth. And so one of the things that we want to see, I wanted to share with the contrast of the fruit of the Spirit that Elder shared, is this tree of the old nature, of man, of ourselves. And that's so
And I do have that in front of me. If you need me to go
okay,
over that,
right.
I do have that in front of me at this point.
Right. So we just wanted to call off some of them as that original to the fruit of God.
Reverend, I have a scripture too. Can I get my scripture in next after I take down y'all's?
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Amen. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Elder.
Yes, and I'm going to give you this kind of like as a comparison. When we think of the self-directed life, that's before we know who Christ is and we are on the throne of our hearts. Christ is outside of our life. All of our interests are self-directed. But when we come to Christ, we still have to yield. So you can believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but your life has not been yielded over. A yielded life will represent and exemplify those fruit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, and goodness. But a life where we're still carnal. We know who Jesus is. We've accepted him as our Savior, but we have not yielded our life. And so instead of seeing those fruit, that love, joy, and peace, and that list in Galatians 5, we'll see something like impure thoughts in our lives, a legalistic attitude, jealousy and guilt. You know, we'll be troubled with worry and discouragement, having critical spirits and frustration, aimlessness in our lives. If we are Christ-centered and Christ is on the throne, then we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. We introduce Christ to others as opposed to ignorance of our spiritual heritage and who we are in Christ, walking in unbelief and disobedience, not having the love of our brethren, no desire for prayer, no desire for Bible study, as opposed to understanding God's word, trusting God's word, and obeying God's word. There should be evidence in our lives. There should be something that people can see a difference in how we deal with our brothers and sisters. And in that book by Adele Albert Calhoun, when it talks about the one another, there's just a list that we should love one another, care for one another, encourage one another, comfort one another. The list just goes on and on, kind of just doing it off the top of my head. But if we are not doing that, then we are not walking in the Spirit. We're not being led by the Holy Spirit. And so those are just some of the things that we should be seeing when we are Christ-controlled, that not only those nine, and if you add in truth and righteousness, making it 11, fruit of the Spirit, that, you know, when we're not seeing that, when we are discouraging, not encouraging our brothers and sisters, when we are frustrated, when we are critical of the body of Christ, when we are not thinking about those things in Philippians 4, and our thoughts are impure, and we don't yield our temple to the Holy Spirit, but do feed our own appetites and pleasures and proclivities, then we understand that we are not walking in the way of the Holy Spirit. So those are just some of the ways that handout kind of looks at it.
Right, right. Amen. That's a wonderful. I wanted us to see the contrast of what is and what is to come, what should be, and you know, and what is, and as even as we know Christ, and as we talked about the soil, you know, and as we know Him, we must let the gardener prepare our hearts, you know, pulling out those rocks that represented our disobedience in those areas that were our own self-interest. And so often a self-directed life, we don't realize we have it profoundly as we do until the gardener, starts to clear out those things that's in the soil of our hearts that do not allow him to plant the fruit of his Spirit. Yes, sir.
Amen. I have nothing but just honor and praise for what y'all are doing. One thing that we talked about a lot on this show is the word being the word. And the words are so important. The word was with God, and the God was the word. And that's just it's so important. And you're bound. That's what's whatever's bound on earth is bound in heaven. But I want to take you out to the Bibles, and that's what the Holy Spirit dropped on me. Isaiah 52:6 is Isaiah 52:6, and I'm reading out of my Thompson Chainsaw Reference Bible, the New International Version, and it reads, "Therefore my people will know my name. Therefore in that day they will know that it is I who foretold it. Yes, it is I. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who bring salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, let your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy." And we're going to stop it right there. And the word that I have is, as y'all impart into my spirit, my spirit is tired, because when you pour in 300 cups and you're constantly pouring and pouring out, it's impossible if you don't go somewhere to get some real meat. And what I want to say to anybody under the sound of my voice, we're getting the words from the words. And the Bible, they teach us, eat the meat, throw away the bone. Anything in excess is bad and not of God. And that's when we sin and covet things more than the love of God. So I the love, and it's an agape love, and it's an inertia love, because I see the unstoppable moving object. I sent y'all some information about a tour we're working on. The four things of the tour is save the children, feed the hungry, peace in the streets, and the Great Commission. Jesus never preached a message until he dealt with the immediate need, and with the way y'all bringing the word, we need to get this out to more pastors and preachers, because y'all not being religious. Y'all moving 100% off the Holy Spirit and the word, and when that word hit you, and all you could do is shout and praise. And I'm trying to keep my phone on mute, and I'm tongue tied, and I'm gonna give you back your floor. But God is moving. This is a real movement right here.
That's what we want. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. I am encouraged by you, my brother, and I thank God for sending those who want it. He needs to reach. This and I'm excited about. You know what? If those few uneducated men in the first century could turn a world upside down, I know that we can, with all the technology that we have, shake out the enemy from the four corners of the earth, expose him. Cause the world to look and say, yes, God is God. We will serve him. And that is the desire. His word has never failed. His word is true. And when we get words from his word, then we're able to establish him in us first, and then our lives will establish him in the earth realm as people see him and not us. And so I thank God for that encouraging from you. And I thank God for this study in love. There were so many aspects. I don't know who else had shared in the reading of this chapter on love, if there were insights and information that you were immediately, like, impacted by. One of the things it says, this love of God is nothing less than the love of God poured out lavishly and constantly. It is what energizes the cosmos. Can you imagine when you look up at the sky at night and so small of a view you get, because we can only see so far. But when you look in the science books and whatever, and you see different planets and the suns and the moons, and his love energizes these things. The energy of the sun lights a world, causes plants to grow and animals to thrive and rivers to flow, and his moon causes the water and the waves to go. It's all his love that. So this love is a very powerful thing that we need to embrace, that we need an insight. We need, Lord, that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened so we will understand the hope of our calling. And we won't just take the fact that, yes, Jesus loves me as a kiddie song, but as a powerful declaration of who has established us to be. We are his bride, not a simple thing. A man shouldn't run around getting the bride every 15 minutes, but that's the person that is forever. This is my forever person. We are his forever people, forever. You know, this is a very powerful, this is the person that spoke and the world came into being. This is a person whose love actually energizes the cosmos, the stars, the moon, keeps everything in place so it would collapse within, keeps everything functioning the way it should, all for love of us. And he said he did all of that for us. This was to amuse us, even to amuse our minds, you know, so that we wouldn't be bored. Give my little geniuses something to think about. Figure out how far it is to the Mars or whatever, you know. Give them something to do. This was for us. And it's because of his love for us and his knowledge of how we are created that he realizes that we need this as a part of our journey and that it is to be the joy of our journey, not just a simple, oh, wow, yeah, that's nice. These are the things. This is why man walks around now so angry, why he walks around now so frustrated and seeking a right now something, because he was created for a cosmos. He was created for a greatness that he has given away, not exactly, but he has counterfeited and he has taken a very poor substitute for, and he's not fulfilled. It's all because he is not fulfilled. And so we just thank God. We thank God, we thank God, we thank God that the Lord has blessed men and women to write powerful writings on his word and make them available to us so that we can share and we can get these insights and we can get a clearer picture of those things that have been put forth in the word of God. We want to look at several things that we were given, and I'm just not sure how we can do it. But if you can go online and find a test for the fruit of the Spirit, a scale of 1 to 10, and prayerfully a test that gives there's a one that says inventory, spiritual inventory. So what is this website? Spiritual Gifts WordPress. But there's one, and it gives some definition, and you're to rate the fruit that's in your life. And I honestly, when I read the first one, I thought, okay, not too bad. But then when I read the detail, and I'll just read a couple of them, and this is a score from 1 to 10, one being the lowest, 10 being I'm doing well. It says love. Love is preeminent in my life. So love, I can say love, but love is preeminent in my life. I see all people through the eyes of Christ. I have a deep compassion for the lost, the lonely, the weak, and the poor. I am drawn towards those who get in my hair. I keep no record of wrong. I give selflessly, sometimes until it hurts. I thought that was cute. Sometimes until it hurts. I go the extra mile. I would rather forgive 20 injuries than avenge one. And God always comes first. So, in light of all of those things, I'm thinking now, what score would I give myself? Because there are certain words you can't take out to fit how you are. So when it says, I see all people, that doesn't leave out anybody. Not the one that shoot the man in the back, not the one that molest and burn babies. It's all people through the eyes of Christ. And I have a deep compassion. Those lost and those that are in those positions are the weak and the poor. And do I see them with the love of Christ? You know, do I give selflessly all the time until it hurts? Only sometimes. And then that means I'm choosing, okay? But the love of God, so what would your score be? Now I'm going to read another one. Peace. The peace of God rules my heart and mind. I stay calm in disturbing situations because my eyes are fixed on Jesus. With few exceptions, I enjoy wholesome and beautiful relationships all around. Whenever relationships are strained or fractured, I take the initiative in moving towards healing and restoration. I can see the dark spots in my own life and am quick to confess them. I am willing always to pay the price of being a peacemaker in the world of bruised relationships. Now, for me, that's another one, that once you get a full definition, if you will, or insight into this fruit, and even there, the author changes some things because he says, with a few exceptions. Why are there any exceptions? Christ gave peace, and he said the world can't take it from us. What does the word say about peace? We have peace with God, and we have peace through God, and we have it from the Prince of Peace, and there are no exceptions. And so these are the things that, you know, we need to examine, and some of them are a matter of spiritual growth and development, absolutely. But unless we are always examining ourselves against the Word of God and the definition in the words of God that are defined by God, then we tend to lull into situations that do not facilitate further growth and development. We get satisfied, we get complacent, and these are also things that are negative on the interest in our hearts when we are to be Christ-centered. And so just doing some things that are proactive in always examining, and he says examining, and sometimes we look, well, nope, I don't see anything, but sometimes we need tools to help us examine, and I think that this was a very good one and very, very powerful one for me because of its definition of what these fruits are to produce in our life. And when I look at it, that's what happened in the first church. You know, one of the things it says, are you quick to confess? We'll confess, but are we quick to confess? And it's those key words like that causes people to see Jesus in us. Even when we're seeking to get to that place, they need to seek us, not so much struggle, but they do need to see what the journey looks like. We do get when we have a struggle with what we believe, a crisis of belief, they happen, and they don't need to necessarily be kept private because people need to know there are times in our journey there is a crisis of belief, but this is what you have to do when you get to that place, you know, and God has some things in line and in place for us to do it. And so I rejoice. We're going to go to the rest of love for next week and then to the fruit of joy. And we do want to look at your results from your spiritual fruit assessment and see where we all lie in that area. Insight, input?
Hey, man, I have a lot of insight, and I want to say to you, Doctor, you run a very tight ship. I like the way that you break the word down and make it simple and plain, and the one thing that Jesus led by example, he spoke in a lot of parables because a lot of things, some people won't be able to understand, including myself, even though I dropped out of high school in the 10th grade. Because of the internet and all this great technology, God gave me a gift to use it for good. And my closing thought and my words of wisdom are, we are the proclaimers of peace. And sometimes, because in dark places, we're the only light that's going to be there. So we have to remember, God gave us the vision, and when we tried to deliver the vision to the sheep, they're not going to get it because it didn't. It's like within the Old Testament, when the anointing oil ran down from the man of God and went to the Israelites, the man of God had to be right. And if you read in the scriptures very closely, when you went to the holiest of holies, they would tie a rope around your leg because it was too holy for them to retrieve the carcass after the spirit had left the body. So I say all these things to say, we have to remember some of our new converts are still on milk, and even though we're bringing meat to them, they don't have any teeth to gnaw through the tough gristle and whatnot. So with that being said, when I did the assessment check, my weakest situation is I'm moving too much in the future, and I still got to look around at this present that's here right now and work with the people that's ready to work. So I'm going to be here several times. I can't express enough how important it is for us to get on our Twitters, Facebook, tell a friend to come into these healthy situations, because the word does not go forth. We can't get faith if we don't hear the word, and if we can't break it down and study it, we can't get the true meaning. And by us communicating, God is going to give us what we need so we can share it to other people. My name is Pastor Don Jr. I'm the CEO of the Entertainment Worldwide Network. My direct number is 818-358-5722. The Winning Team website, our radio station, which is 1.5 million global listeners. We're syndicated in 24 AM and FM markets. 2 weeks ago, we just picked up Atlanta. So God has opened a lot of doors for me. I'm here to help. I need everybody to call me. I'm trying because I can't do it by myself. We're working with the secular world. At the same time we're working with the secular world, we still keeping the word of Christ there, and we're getting out of the religious side. So we have some atheists and some devil worshipers, but through our example, by putting funds in their pockets, they're starting to come over towards our way. So I'm here for y'all. And please call me.
Amen. And I would like to share with you, Pastor Don, the fact that the Labors for Christ, AEN, Ecumenical Network, is a network of pastors and faiths across the world in all, as you say, whether they're atheists, it doesn't, Buddha, whatever, in a oneness of Christ. In a oneness of Christ, this is what we come together as individuals, so that we can, as groups, understand truth and then be freed by truth. We have our conference will be August the 24th, 5th, 6th, and 7th at the Hyatt Regency O'Hare here in Chicago, Illinois, where we will have individuals from all kinds of denominations and faiths and churches and countries come to share and to be imparted. There's the ministry of the apostle and the vision of the apostle to bring oneness in the body of Christ and for us to, first of all, get to know one another and then get to share Christ with one another. And so often we stand outside and look in and we don't want to blend, but we will be a multitude of people when we get to heaven, but that's because we will have given the love of God and Christ to them all. And I thank God for you and for your ministry, and we will pray for you, and we'll have your apostle actually contact you. We have a ministry there in Las Vegas as well, and in 5 or 6 states. I keep losing count of my own. So.
Amen, amen.
And we're actually on Blog Talk about, we have 12 stations, 12 times that we broadcast. The vision of the apostle was 24-hour church. We want the airwaves to always be open. When a saint wants the word of God, there is a place they can go to get it. They're called LFC specialists, and they are on a variety of different types of subjects and focuses. There's the healer worship. There is Grace Tabernacle teaching there, and I just don't have the list in front of me. However, I can make that available to you, and so I will, contact you. So we do. We thank God for this session and for his love. We thank him for his love, and our prayer is that we will get to understand just another little pinch of his love. Because too much of it, I don't think we would be fit for the earth any longer. We would be waiting to go home to him. But we thank him for his love and for his son and for his precious Holy Spirit, who brings us power to bring him to the world. And we thank God for it. We thank God for each of you who have joined with us. And we look forward to speaking to you on next week at 9 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio. Good day.
God bless.